Good to be here with you once again. I was reminiscing in my mind as I was coming over 40 years ago. We had the privilege of being pastors here. And few of the memories that came to my mind was a Sunday school bus. I don't know if anybody here ever rode that Sunday school bus, but we actually managed to be able to get our attendance up to around 100 when we were running that Sunday school bus. Another great memory I have is young people. We had a great young people's group. And in the midst of that group, we had a singing group. And we did a little bit of touring. We went off to May City and some other church way over in the west. And we used that Sunday school bus to be able to transport everybody. Calvin, were you a part of that group, that singing group? Now, I know your sisters were, but you don't lay claim to fame for singing. And, you know, a strange thing, too, this church, and it didn't really happen in other churches where we were, Thanksgiving Sunday. Do you remember, anybody, what you used to do on Thanksgiving Sunday? You used to bring all kinds of stuff, and it would be put on bales and stuff all around the front of the church. And then at the close of the service, they would give it all to the pastor and his family. Whew, man, it was ever good. I don't recall that that ever happened in other churches, but it happened here. And it's a great memory of support. And this also is the place in our memories where probably the best friend I have in this life, Vern, lives. And he was he and his wife came to know the Lord when we were here, and we just can pick up wherever we left off, even if we haven't seen each other for months. And it's good to have a friend like that. My wife is usually with me, but she's doing some double duty this morning. We are a part of a life group. There's about 8 or 9 of these life groups in our church. Right now, we're doing what's called an alignment series. And our pastor is preaching on the book of Judges. And so what he's saying comes into our life group. Well, I can't be there to hear what he's saying. So that's my wife's assignment this morning, to get all that information and bring it to our life group. I believe that the Lord would have us consider the topic of the kingdom of God. And the title of this message is Living as Kingdom Citizens. There are different kinds of kingdoms that are talked about in the Bible. One is, of course, the one that we're going to be talking about, which is the kingdom of God. The scriptures that we were reading show us how to get into that kingdom. We become like children. But they also gave us an insight as to what the disciples were thinking in regards to this kingdom. When they asked Jesus, can I sit on one side of you and my brother sit on the other side? They were thinking of a literal kingdom. And I think Judas Iscariot had that in mind too. He wanted to force the issue so that Jesus would set up his kingdom. Nobody liked the Romans, and they wanted to get rid of the Romans. So they wanted to have an actual physical kingdom in which he would be their king. I think Peter in the garden is another example of that. When he drew his sword and cut off the ear of one of the helpers of the high priest, and Jesus reached over and reattached that ear and rebuked him, saying, you know, those who live by the sword die by the sword. So they had in their mind an actual kingdom. Now keep that in mind as we move along. The Bible also talks about the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5 talks about this. Daniel chapter 4 talks about this as being an eternal kingdom. Matthew 11, 13, 16, 18, all chapters in the Bible that talk about the kingdom of heaven. A third one is the kingdoms of this world, often referred to very clearly in the book of Revelation, chapter 11 and verse 5. And in the Bible, we have the kingdom of Egypt, the kingdom of Babylon, kingdom of Persia, kingdom of Greece, kingdom of Rome, kingdom of Israel. So we know that there are kingdoms of this world. But there's also another, a fourth kingdom talked about in the Bible, and it is the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of evil, the kingdom of Satan. And I just listed a host of verses where this is talked about, but Revelation 16, verse 10, talks about this specifically. But the admonition from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, "But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well." And that is in the context of Jesus providing all that we need for food, for clothing, etc. Now, if you have a kingdom, you must assume that there is a king. There has to be a ruler. There has to be somebody who is in authority, and that ruler is to be followed and obeyed. Another thing that we need to realize that when it comes to being citizens, we are citizens of the country in which we are born. And sometimes you used to be able to hold dual citizenship. I don't even know if you can do that anymore, especially with the states, but you used to be able to be citizens in at least two countries. But for the Christian, that's nothing new. We are citizens of Canada, but we're also citizens of the kingdom of God by virtue of the new birth. Let's look at, first of all, the location of this kingdom. John chapter 18 and verse 36 says this, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." And that was in the context of there in the garden when Peter had sliced off that ear. And these are the words of Jesus. "My kingdom is not of this world." Must keep that in mind. The second thing in Luke chapter 17, we read these words, "Nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst." So I looked at that word midst, quite carefully. And it can, of course, mean things like among us. It can also mean the heart. So God's kingdom resides within the heart. It is among us. Now, that's not too difficult to understand. Think of an iceberg. 9/10 of an iceberg we don't see. It's under the water, all because of density. And so it is with the kingdom of God. We see a little bit of the kingdom of God as the people gather. Not all structures or facilities necessarily indicate the kingdom of God resides within, because it is the people who gather in those facilities. Another idea of the kingdom of God is that wherever you go in the world, the kingdom of God exists. It doesn't matter what nation, what tongue, what race, what gender, adult or child, the kingdom of God lives within people. And of course, this is how we get into that kingdom, and I just want to remind you of that, John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 3. "Truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Now, Nicodemus didn't really understand. How can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? This is kind of ridiculous. But Jesus said, you must be born of the water, which is the physical birth, and of the spirit, which is the spiritual birth. Notice verses 5 through 8. Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You can hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So Jesus tells us that in coming into this kingdom of God, this which we come to in faith, and we are born again, he tells us very clearly, I am the gate. He says, he who enters through me will be saved. So we realize that Jesus is the key in being able to experience entrance into the kingdom of God. He also said in chapter 10 of John, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. John 10:9 says, I am the gate, or I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but through me. So we see that this opportunity exists for us. It is there, and we have to do something about it. It is our choice. Now, there are some limitations to the kingdom of God. One of the limitations I've just mentioned, one that people really push against. What are you trying to tell me? There's only one way to God. There's many ways to God. Well, Jesus said, there's only one way into the kingdom of God, and that is through me. And we, John 14:6, we already saw that. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, and I want to read that for you, talks about the road that we are on. And it puts it this way. John chapter 7, 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Sad but true. Also in that same chapter, in verse 23, a very startling verse. It says, it is hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And that is because of their dependence upon their wealth and their resources, and they become their own God. So that is why it's hard. Not that some people don't, it's just hard. And then 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9 also tells us that those who live wrong cannot enter the kingdom of God. It says this, do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? But there are obligations if we become a citizen of God's kingdom. Our Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we pray for the kingdom of God to come, and we are encouraged to do that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, we have another obligation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. I'd like just to think for a moment about ambassadors. One of Canada's best ambassadors is named Kenneth Taylor. He was the ambassador to Iran when the Iran crisis took place back in 1979, 1981. And the Shah of Iran was probably being corrupt. The people wanted him out, and they staged many, many riots. He had to flee the country and go into exile. And during that time, there was a takeover of the American consulate. If you've ever seen the movie Argo, it tells us all about this story. Wonderful story of how God used this wonderful ambassador of ours. So on November the 4th, there was the takeover of the American embassy. 52 hostages were held captive. There was 8 Marines that died in that takeover, and that hostage instance lasted 441 days. But that wasn't what the story was. There were 6 Americans who weren't in the consulate when this happened. And they were out shopping, doing other things, and then it occurred, and they realized they couldn't go back there. So where did they go? They went to the Canadian consulate. Story says that Kenneth Taylor was out watering his lawn with a hose when these families drove up, and he just motioned for them to drive right straight into the garage, and the two cars went into the garage, and then they were able to get out. The Sheardown family and the Taylor family took care of these six hostages for a couple of months. And then we read in the story that it's called the Canadian Caper. There was a CIA agent named Carlos, let's see, what was his name here? I don't know. Tony Mendez. And so he arranged for a film company. And they set up the film company. It was called Argo and so forth. And they brought some people in who were techs, camera people, etc. And under that guise, they trained these six Americans to fill these roles and gave them false passports, etc., and groomed them so that when they got questioned by the guards at the airport, that they could get through, which they did. And they flew out, and Kenneth Taylor was with them and his family and was responsible for getting these six Americans out. A wonderful ambassador. But what does an ambassador do? Well, in this case, of course, he was a protector. He provided for the needs of these people. He helped with a plan to be able to physically exit these people out of the country safely. He not only prepared it, he helped to execute it, make it happen, and everything kind of happened under his authority. So what do ambassadors do? Well, they speak good. That's one thing they do. They do what is right. They care for other people. They are good representatives of the country in which they have been assigned to that consulate. They act very responsibly. They are good examples. They emanate the king's values, his standards, his lifestyle. Important things that an ambassador does. But the verse that we read says that we are his ambassadors. Now, we could go into scriptures and we could look at all the big list of sins that are there, murder, adultery, etc., etc. And we say, well, you know, I'm not guilty of those. I'm probably doing pretty good. And I'm going to step on a few toes right now as we apply this, but my own as well, because this is kind of where my list comes from. But ask ourselves these questions. Am I being a good ambassador for the kingdom of God when I remount the sales clerk at the store for making a mistake or an error, or maybe because an item is faulty? One thing I would never want to be would be that person that stands behind that service desk and has to listen to all of these attacks that come. I'm sure that not all of them are bad, but most of them aren't good. Am I being a good ambassador when I'm cheating to get out of paying for what is rightly owed? I have a good friend who was in Walmart in Red Deer, and one of the lawn chairs that was $99 got missed because it was down on the bottom of the cart. And when he got home, he realized that that hadn't been paid for. So the next time he was in, he went to the service desk and showed them that he had two chairs and he only got charged for one, and he would like to pay for the other one. This lady was flabbergasted. She says, I have had nobody that honest in a long time. She says, I'm going to reward that honesty. See that big shelf over there with all those pies? You go over and pick out a pie. And then to his embarrassment as he was going out, which he didn't have a receipt for this pie, she yells at the guy out the door, the checker, and says, you let him through. He's an honest man. That's his pie. But are we good ambassadors when we try to get our paying for what we rightly owe? Are we being good ambassadors when we yell at our spouse or yell at our children? Are we being good ambassadors when we borrow from the neighbor but never take the item back again? Or we break something and we don't fix it before we take it back again? Are we being good ambassadors when we're purposefully mean to someone because they are different? Am I being a good ambassador when I'm neglecting someone who needs help? Help that I could give because maybe I have the skills or the resources to be able to make a difference. Am I being a good ambassador when I'm neglecting the widow or the orphan? Am I being a good ambassador when I'm not visiting the sick or the infirm as the scriptures encourage us to do? Am I being a good ambassador when I purposely choose wrong over right? The theme of our worship hit right home to, you know, sometimes we know what to do, but we just don't do it. Am I being a good ambassador when I brag about the accomplishments that I have done without giving glory to the Lord? Am I being a good ambassador when I purposely put down friends, neighbors, acquaintances, public figures? You get the list of it. There's so many things that we could do, or that we do, that we are not being the kind of ambassadors for the King that we ought to be. And that is our challenge this morning. May we this week be the kinds of ambassadors that will influence others to want to be a part of that kingdom. Because sometimes we're the only Bible that other people ever read. And so it's important for us to be the ambassadors that God wants us to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have chosen us, redeemed us, taken us into your family and adopted us. We are privileged people. Lord, so often we aren't ambassadors that we ought to be of your kingdom. We realize that in our humanity that we have a default position, and it's called sin. And we often go there. Thank you that you forgive us. Thank you that you help us to get up off the ground and keep on going. Lord, we would seek your help. We do pray for your kingdom to come, for we realize that this is the way that righteousness shall prevail. But in the meantime, help us, Lord, to be good ambassadors for this kingdom this week. This I pray through Jesus our Lord. Amen.